Welcome to Revolutionary Health. I am your host, Stephanie Center. I'm an occupational therapist who pivoted to become a functional medicine practitioner after I was diagnosed with mold toxicity. Now, I help women overcome gut and hormone imbalance naturally with functional lab testing and a root cause approach. In this podcast, I share raw and tangible tips on how to get back in the driver's seat of your own health. So buckle up, because here we go. Welcome to this mini-sode. I combined the words mini and episode of Revolutionary Health. I am your host, Stephanie Center, and I'm doing something a little bit different today. If you're an OG of the podcast, you may remember that my first handful of episodes were just me sharing what I learned about how to heal yourself naturally based on my own findings and experience. Well, today I'm getting back to the basics. I have no idea how this episode's going to go. I'm really just testing the waters to see if this is something you are interested in hearing. I get a lot of positive feedback from my first couple of episodes, and I want to give you the option to hear my thoughts about different topics instead of just me always interviewing other experts. So today I'm going to share with you how I pivoted from occupational therapy to functional medicine. Over the past, 60 something episodes, you may have gleaned bits and pieces of how and maybe why I transitioned from being an acute care OT to running my own functional medicine practice. But today I am going to spill the tea. Why? Besides the fact that this is one of my most frequently asked questions, I get DMs on Instagram every single week about how did you do it? How did you make the switch? How did you make the transition? Also, I'm recording this episode because I believe in the power of storytelling. And maybe you can learn something, whether you're looking to pivot your career or you're on a healing journey and you need some guidance. So in this mini-sode, I'm going to share with you three things. I'm going to share with you why I left OT, because I think that's important. I'm going to share with you what I did to start my own functional medicine practice. So if you're like, this is me, but I don't know how to do it, this is a great episode for you. And I'm going to leave you with three tangible tips. So three things that I wish I knew about healing that I know now. So, okay, let's start at the beginning. Why I left OT. And let me share this big, huge disclaimer. I am not discouraging you from going to OT school. I am not discouraging you from becoming an occupational therapist. I am not disparaging this career choice. It just wasn't for me. And I want to share my story with you because maybe it'll resonate with you. I kind of wish an episode like this existed when I was contemplating going to OT school. Ultimately, I'm glad that it didn't, that I ended up going to OT school. And I'll share about why I'm grateful that I went to OT school. But I pivoted careers. I no longer practice OT. So here's the story behind that. So if we start at the beginning, I graduated from OT school in 2013. And boy, did I have some big dreams on how I was going to change the world. And I had some big student loans, like $120,000+ in student loans. Ouch, right? I bet some of you who are listening didn't know that OT school costs that much. It's a little bit outrageous. And I hear that it's only getting worse and worse. And to be completely transparent, my resentment, and yes, I know that's a strong word, I'm going to use it. My resentment toward OT, the school, and frankly, my profession as a whole happened pretty quickly for me. My running joke is that I went to OT school to figure out what OT was, and I graduated still not having a clue. And I think it was the mystery of it that actually is what lured me into that career path. I had been accepted to both PT and OT school, and I decided to go with OT because I felt like there were more, I'll say, creative liberties there and a little bit more freedom. And also, I apologize if you can hear my 10-month-old screaming in the background. I'm doing the best I can. So I have no idea if that's actually true, that OTs have more freedom and creative liberties. That is just the way I felt at the time. And honestly, the way I feel that this career path was marketed to me, which is a great segue into why I ultimately left OT. So when I was in school, occupational therapy was marketed to me as this wonderful career choice with countless opportunities, lots of career growth, freedom, and ability to make change, to really, really help people both habilitate and rehabilitate so that they may participate in necessary and meaningful activities. So if you're like, what does that mean? Necessary would be like going to the bathroom or putting on socks. Those are things that be able to do on your own. Otherwise, you need what we call assistance. Meaningful activities, think, you know, playing golf, gardening, social activities. Those are meaningful activities. They add to our quality of life. Basically, the definition of OT. If you're like sitting here thinking, well, I thought you helped people find jobs. OT is we promote safety, participation, and independence in both necessary and meaningful playing golf activities. And if you're still like, I don't understand what that is, I thought you helped people with finding occupations. We define those daily life tasks as occupations, which I think, side note, we can all agree that the term occupational therapist is a terrible name for the profession. I feel like we should be calling it like, I don't know, functional therapists or something of that nature, because people are so thrown off by the term occupational. And if you're an OT and you're listening, I would bet money that you've had to describe yourself as, you know, like a physical therapist, but we help you with life skills or something to that nature, right? Because everybody knows and understands what a physical therapist is. So back to why I left OT. The pretty picture of what a day in the life of an OT that was painted to me in OT school was not at all what being an OT looked like in the real world. So think of this as like your fantasy self versus your real life self, right? Your curated and filtered photo versus your candid Polaroid. They were complete opposites. Hey there, beauty enthusiasts. Are you tired of compromising your health for beauty? Well, I've got some exciting news for you. I am about to revolutionize your makeup game. Imagine beautiful, vibrant makeup that not only enhances your natural features, but also protects your skin from harmful chemicals. That's exactly what you'll find at Crunchy. Clean, toxin-free cosmetics that make you look and feel fabulous. Trust me, I've experienced the Crunchy magic myself. As someone who cares deeply about what goes on my skin, their organic-packed, cruelty-free products have transformed my beauty routine. No more worries about clogged pores or irritations, just pure, clean beauty. Oh, and hold on to your mascara wands, because I've got a little treat for you. Just for being the fabulous you that you are, there's a sweet $10 off waiting for you when you make your very first order. All you gotta do is give that link in my show notes a little tap and boom, you're on your way to a love story with clean beauty that won't break the bank. So gorgeous, what's the holdup? Say adios to settling for less and say hello to the stunning toxin-free world of Crunchy. Let the magic unfold at crunchy.com/Stephanie Center. And don't forget to give that little link in my show notes that tap so you can get an exclusive $10 off. Your journey to radiance starts now. Okay, beautiful. Time to get back to the show. When I graduated OT school, occupational therapy was a saturated market. I have no idea how OT was making it in like the top 10 lists of best jobs in the United States, because at least where I lived, it was really hard to find a job. And maybe part of that, I live in Nashville, Tennessee, and there are, I think, two OT schools. I didn't attend either one of them, but there are two OT schools in Nashville, Tennessee that I know of. So maybe that is part of the problem. But it felt to me like all new grads had to kind of pay their dues. We all had to start working in skilled nursing facilities, or you may know it as a nursing home. And this is a very tough work environment. It's a very high stress work environment. I know, not what you think when you think of a nursing home. Nursing homes are highly understaffed, and they are, and I will say I worked in, I think I counted one time, 18 different nursing homes in the greater Nashville area. I was working for a travel agency, a local travel agency who was terrible to their employees, like would tell me that they had me booked for a whole day in a town that was maybe an hour and a half away from where I lived. And I would get there and they would only have two patients for me to see. And so I just wasted 3 hours of driving for 2 hours of work. It was terrible. But any facility that I worked at, all my boss would care about was my, I'm going to use the word productivity, which is a term that was never used in OT school. No one ever prepared me for this concept that nobody was ever going to judge me on my patient's clinical outcomes. They were only going to judge me on what percentage of my day was billable to insurance. And that is how we get productivity. Most companies, and I'm speaking for nursing homes, want you between 80 and 90% productive, meaning 80 to 90% of your day is directly billable to insurance, which maybe you think doesn't sound unrealistic. But let me list some activities that are not billable. Answering patients' call lights. That is not a billable service. Wheeling your patient in their wheelchair from their room to the therapy gym is not a billable service. And sometimes that can take 10, 15 minutes, right? You got to transfer them from the bed to the wheelchair and then take them down to the gym. Maybe they need to go to the bathroom along the way, which I would argue could be a billable service. Maybe they want to stop and talk to somebody along the way. I've hit that point. That is not a billable service. Other things that are not billable: answering calls from family members about patient updates or patient questions, calling insurance companies who are denying your patients further visits when you feel like they need more therapy, writing your patient note. So we have to be incredibly detailed when we write notes. So since I brought up going to the bathroom, if you are doing a, what we call a toilet transfer, or you're doing toileting with a patient, you're writing down the level of assist it took them to get on and off the commode, which hand they used to hold the railing, your level of assist to sit down. Were they able to unbutton their pants? Were they able to use their left hand or right hand to pull their pants down? How much assist did they need wiping? How much assist did they need standing back up, transferring to the sink to wash their hands? Were they able to stand at the sink to wash that? So you're getting this, right? It's very, very detailed notes. And that's just the toileting. That's, we didn't even get to the therapy session yet. That level of detail, they wanted us to do what we call point of service documentation. You have to write your note while you're working with the patient. Can you imagine pulling out a computer while you've got one hand studying a patient standing at the sink to wash their hands? It's just not going to happen. And I would continually have to tell my boss, hey, I can't have one hand on the computer typing my patient note while the other hand helps the patient off the toilet. I can't do that. That's not realistic. So that was kind of the strut, and I can feel my blood pressure rising just talking about this. So I'm so thankful that I'm no longer in that situation. But I felt totally duped. I felt like my OT school hoodwinked me into thinking that this was some great career, and it sucked. I felt like a glorified tech when I worked at nursing homes. So what I did was I spent the next 3 years working my tush off. I worked a full-time job. I worked PRN OT. I was working 60 plus hours a week so that I could pay $3,400 a month in student loans so that at the end of 3 years, I no longer owed the profession anything. I was done. And I don't share this with you to sound negative. I share because, again, I wish somebody would have shared this with me before I said yes to OT school, which, again, ultimately, I am grateful that I had this time working in traditional medicine. I'm grateful that I kind of understand both languages. I understand how traditional medicine works. I understand its gaps and flaws, and that makes me a better clinician in the functional medicine space. So I don't have regrets, but I do have a little bit of resentment. And I'm just being completely honest with you and sharing why. Hey there, lovely listener. We are taking a little breather from our show to dive into something that's not just important, but also incredibly cozy. So picture this: you, a delightful candle, and some heart-to-heart chat with your favorite gal pal about minimizing toxin exposures while giving a nod to a local small female-founded business. Now let me tell you, I have been on the quest for non-toxic candles that tick all the boxes for years. Yes, you heard me right, years. I'm all about that sweet blend of aroma and ambiance that only candles can accomplish. You know, the kind that sets the mood, the vibes, the overall atmosphere. But here's the kicker. It's been a challenge to find candles that align with my standards. I remember feeling a little bit lost in the candle department after my little dip with mold toxicity, and it seemed like there was nothing safe out there. And boy, did I miss the warm glow and soothing scents. Thankfully, I stumbled upon this game changer. Have you ever heard of Sea Love candles? These little beauties not only smell divine, and let's admit it, they're super cute too, but they're also a dream come true for anyone looking to keep things toxin-free and eco-friendly. Let me share a heartwarming story. So Stacy, the brains behind Sea Love candles, started this wonderful venture because her hubby had asthma and those synthetic fragrance candles just weren't his jam. He couldn't tolerate them. So she took matters into her own hands and created Sea Love candles. And guess what? Sea Love Candles is a small batch haven tucked away on the picturesque coast of Maine, and I can't stress this enough. Choosing them over those big box giants, Bath & Body Works, isn't just a choice, it's a statement. Quality and sustainability, check and check. So head on over to sealovecandles.com, that's S-E-A-L-O-V-E, candles, candles.com. And when you indulge in these little pockets of joy, use the code HOLISTICHOUSE10, HOLISTICHOUSE, and then the number 10, all one word. You'll get an awesome 10% off your order as a big old thank you for tuning into our podcast and supporting the heartbeat of a small business. I don't know about you, but the warm embrace of candlelight at night is my happy place. Heck, I even light one up on rainy days at my desk. It's an instant mood lift. And I'm pretty sure it'll sprinkle a little bit of magic into your life too. So again, head on over to Sea Love Candles and use the code HOLISTICHOUSE10 for 10% off your order. You can also find a link to Sea Love Candles in the show notes if you are driving and you cannot write this down. All right, my wonderful folks, let's shimmy on back to our show and keep this good vibe train rolling. I truly believe that God gave me this gift of experience so that I could better understand just how broken our healthcare system is. So fast forward to 2017, my loans are paid off and I start working as an acute care OT, and I absolutely loved it. And I'll say that relatively speaking, I loved it in comparison to skilled nursing. It was like a weight lifted. I was actually able to use clinical judgment. I was seeing more complex and interesting cases. And I didn't have the billing system in nursing homes at the time, which doesn't exist anymore, was something called resource utilization groups, which is basically where the minutes that you spend with a patient matter. So if you're scheduled for 36 minutes with a patient and you go over to 53 minutes with a patient, you go over time, that could potentially hurt you. Conversely, if you have 36 minutes with a patient and they refuse therapy, that's a slap on the wrist too. That you're not, you know, you can't have a patient refuse. The hospital setting is very, very different in terms of their reimbursement. And so they didn't have that kind of pressure on therapists. If I took a shower with a patient and it took 30 minutes, it took 30 minutes, no big deal. If the shower took 48 minutes, no big deal. I was able to kind of use my clinical judgment and be with the patient and meet them at that just right challenge, which was a huge step in the right direction in terms of patient-centered care. So in June of 2018, that's when I got really sick. And I'll share that story in another episode because I think it deserves its own moment in the sun. But I will tell you this, I am incredibly grateful that I got sick. And I can tell you without hesitation, if I did not get sick, I would not be where I am today. My mess became my message. And not only am I better equipped to help people heal, but I'm also a more compassionate practitioner because I understand firsthand what it's like to suffer and to feel dismissed by healthcare providers. Okay, this brings me to point number two. How did I start my own functional medicine practice? So the year is 2020, and I've been really sick for about a year and a half. I'm down to just a handful of foods I can tolerate. I've lost most of the hair on my head, which was really, really hard for me. And I'm under about 100 pounds, which is not ideal for my situation. I counted either 7 or 8 different doctors at this point. And I've had multiple procedures, colonoscopies, endoscopies. I've spent like tens of thousands of dollars on my healthcare at this point. And I've fallen everywhere on the spectrum with doctors from, here, let me prescribe you multiple meds to manage your symptoms, to, well, your labs are normal. It must be all in your head. And can I get an A freaking men if you've ever been in that situation where your labs are normal and you feel dismissed, or you're spending thousands upon thousands of dollars for tests that bring you nothing, right? My colonscopes, my endoscopes, they were all insignificant. They came back with no new information, and I was out several thousand dollars. Not to mention that costs were not upfront, which is a conversation for another time, that costs were not upfront for any of these things. They were all surprise bills, which is another pro to functional medicine. You know what you're paying for your healthcare, and you're getting solutions that actually work. All right. So 2020 was a big year for me. I started my podcast because I had to share with you what I was learning. I wanted to be the me for somebody else. I wanted to be the me that I needed when I was at my worst health-wise, because I wasn't finding the kind of information out there that I needed to hear. I also pursued a functional medicine certification, which ultimately allows me the freedom to build relationships with lab companies and order the right labs to help you get to the bottom of why maybe you don't feel well. So I'm really glad that I found functional lab testing and I pursued that certification because that's ultimately what helped me heal. 2020 was also a big year for our planet, right? A new virus was introduced into the world and the world shut down because of it. I was still working in acute care at the time, so that was really interesting to get firsthand experience of all of that. I don't really feel the need to say any more there. I stayed in acute care until December 18th, 2020. That was my last hospital shift and my chef's kiss farewell to OT. So in February 2021, I opened up my own practice and I can securely and safely say that I had no idea what I was doing, but I figured that imperfect action was better than no action at all. And if you are listening and you are thinking of opening up your own functional medicine practice, let me say that again. Imperfect action is always better than no action at all, right? You want to fail forward. If you're listening, here are the basics of what you need to start your own functional medicine practice. You really just need two things. You need to figure out who you're serving, because if you are speaking to everyone, you are speaking to no one. So figure out who your ideal client avatar is, who you serve. Write down what name that person would have. Where do they go shopping for clothes? What is their problem they're experiencing? And then you need to figure out how you solve that problem. So what's your offer going to be? How are you going to fix that person's problem? That's really the two things you need. And I feel like when I meet other business owners or other people in this profession who are maybe in the beginnings of starting their own practice, they haven't defined those things. And that's kind of why maybe their business isn't doing well, right? Because money loves clarity. And if you're not clear on who you serve, then people are going to be confused. If you're not clear on how you serve, people are going to be confused and they're not going to purchase from you. So the rest of it will work itself out, right? I didn't pay for a fancy website in the beginning. I built a cheap WordPress website. If you are not into coding and that sort of thing, there's a bit of coding that's involved in WordPress. You might start with like a Wix page or something, right? Or Shopify page. Those are pretty easy to build. I did not pay for a fancy email marketing platform. I used the free option of MailChimp. I did not wait until I had lead magnets or a funnel to start building my business. And if you're listening, you're like, I don't know what a lead magnet is. I don't know what a funnel is. That's okay. You'll get there. Now that I'm a little more established, I pay for things. Like I don't use WordPress anymore. I have a Kajabi website. I use Thrivecart to build my checkout pages. I use Stripe as my payment processor. I use a HIPAA compliant patient portal. I use Canva for design, and I've hired some virtual assistants to help me with those things. It will take time. Yes, you will work 80 hours a week in order to get off your 40-hour a week job. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to have bad months, but all of those things are part of learning how to run your own business. And it's worth it if you're passionate about what you do. So that's kind of my two cents on how to start a functional medicine business. There are so many ways to get started. I would just say, just start treating people, start working with them, start giving them the results that they're looking for. And the rest, again, will work itself out. Word of mouth will spread that, hey, you're good at what you do. And you can just kind of go from there. Are you tired of feeling sluggish and unwell? Are you ready to take control of your health and embark on a journey to cleanse your body from environmental toxins and parasites? Welcome to my Parasite Cleanse course, your ultimate guide to revitalizing your well-being. In this transformative course, you will gain essential knowledge through five comprehensive modules. Module one will empower you to recognize the signs and symptoms of a parasite infestation, bringing you clarity to your health journey. Module two will give you a thorough and crucial pre-cleanse steps, focusing on detoxification and drainage, laying a solid foundation for an effective cleanse. In module three, you'll learn safe and effective techniques to eliminate parasites, promoting a healthier and happier you. Module four explores lifestyle and nutrition practices that will complement your cleanse, ensuring your body thrives throughout the process. And then module five is all about post-cleansing. I'm going to equip you with strategic approaches to maintain your newfound vitality and well-being. But wait, that's not it. There's more. I've included some amazing bonuses to enhance your experience. Learn about pregnancy and breastfeeding considerations in my special bonus module. Also, discover products that boost your cleanse journey, giving you that extra edge. As a special treat, receive a step-by-step guide on parasite elimination alongside lifetime access to prescription-grade cleanse products. Plus, to support your detox and drainage journey, you'll receive my exclusive recipe ebook. Are you ready to say goodbye to feeling sluggish and reset your metabolism? Enroll in my Parasite Cleanse course today and embrace a healthier and happier you. Click the Parasite Cleanse course link in the show notes and use the code PODCAST for $25 off your course as a special thank you for being a loyal listener. I really hope this serves you well. Back to the show. All right, so I promised you three things that I wish I knew about healing that I know now. Because this, had I known these things, I would have healed a lot faster and a lot more effectively. So item number one, you have more agency over your health than anyone in traditional medicine has ever led you to believe. I'll say that again. You have more agency over your health than anyone in traditional medicine has ever led you to believe. How many times have you gone to the doctor and maybe you're listening with an autoimmune condition and they said, oh, I'm so sorry that you have this condition. Here, take these meds for the rest of your life. What? Does that physician not believe that your body is capable of healing? If your body is capable of developing an autoimmune disease, I'm sorry. I feel like your body is capable of overcoming that autoimmune disease and healing. But when you have that fixed mindset that, well, these are the cards that I've been dealt. I guess this is what the rest of my life looks like. Then you self-sabotage your healing because you don't believe you can heal. You don't believe in yourself. So that's one thing that I wish I would have known that I didn't know back then. Another thing I wish I would have known, and I say this to every single client that I work with, healing is like the stock market. It's not linear, right? You will have peaks, you will have valleys, but as long as you invest well, you will come out ahead, right? Because if anybody knows that if you invest in the stock market, it always goes up over time, right? It might go up and then down and then up and then down, but it's trending upwards the entire time. Right? You're not going to dip down below where you started. And if you do, it's not going to last very long. Piece of advice number three, and this is so powerful. You are closer to healing than you think. Think about all of the hours you've spent researching the different modalities or techniques you've tried to heal. Maybe some of them didn't work for you, but they brought you closer to things that will work for you. So that's my encouragement. You have more agency over your health than you think. Healing is not linear, but it's like the stock market and it goes up over time and you are closer to healing than you think. I hope that this episode was uplifting and encouraging. You know, leaving a profession is hard, especially when you feel like you owe that profession something, but having a calling in your life is so much stronger. And I'm not discrediting OTs and I hope you don't read the message that way. There are some OTs out there that are doing amazing work and I'm so grateful for them. I just feel like I can serve you better by being a functional medicine practitioner. And so that's why I'm here today. Thanks for hanging out with me. If you liked this minisode, let me know. Send me a rating and review or shoot me an email at info.holistichouse@gmail.com, or you can find me on Instagram, Stephanie Center Wellness. I would love to hear from you because again, I'm not sure how this is going to go. If this goes well, I'll probably do some more minisodes. I have blog posts releasing every week and I might do some minisodes about some of the topics that I have on my blog. So if that interests you, let me know that so that I know to continue to do these. Some of them will be personal like this one. This one was a very personal episode, but some of them will be just health tips and tricks. So anyways, thank you for hanging out with me today. I always enjoy our time together and I look forward to meeting with you again soon. Time to get back in the real world. Be well and be healed.